17th chapter of Genesis. We're still traveling with Abraham. And about now, Abraham has been walking with the Lord 24 years. You remember, Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. And by now, he's 99 and still don't have a baby. Let's read. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, As for me, behold my covenant with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, I will give thee a son of her, yea, I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nation. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. I will make of him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Praise be unto God for the hearing and the reading of his precious and his eternal word. Sometime along the way, you probably had been exposed to Shakespeare. Most of you have been exposed to the names of Romeo and Juliet and their love affair. And you have to remember what was wrong was that she was a Capulet and he was a Montague. And their families were having more than a feud. They were having a war. And in Act 2, we hear Juliet as she is talking. She thinks to herself. How many of you ever got caught talking to yourself? Yeah. How many of you will say, oh, I'm the only sane one here. I've never talked to myself. Please don't raise your hand. I hate for you to feel right here in church. Juliet is talking to herself, and she says, what's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other word, would smell as sweet. What's she saying? I'll tell you what she's saying. She's saying, if it's a rose, and there's an old saying, a rose is a rose is a rose. And if you've got a rose, you could call it a caterpillar. You could call it a spider. You could call it anything you want to call it, but it would smell just as sweet as it always did. Not because of the name that it's got, but because of what it is. It is a rose. And because it is a rose, it smells like a rose and it looks like a rose. The name doesn't change it, does it? Now, when we say rose, we immediately associated everything that looks like a rose with it. Well, so she's saying, what does it matter that my name is Capulet and his name is Montague? If he loves me and I love him, what does it matter? The name makes no difference at all. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? And so we have to ask, what is in a name? What's so important about a name? Well, in this chapter that I just read, everybody's getting a name change except one person. God gets a new name with Abraham. Abraham gets a new name. Sarah gets a new name. The baby they're going to have gets a new name. And one doesn't get a new name, and his name is Ishmael. And he doesn't get a new name. So this is a chapter of new names. And we name our children in a time of insanity, I think sometimes. I don't know why on earth we want to try to name our children names that they're going to have to carry the rest of their life. Now, my mother, and you all can be thankful, she didn't have her way. When I was being born, she decided she would name me after my father's daddy and her daddy. That would have meant your pastor would have been Henry Forrest. And daddy says, my goodness, Olivia, stack a name like that on a little bitty baby? Well, we name babies for precarious reasons nowadays. We name them after rock stars. We name them after movie stars. We name them after songs. My Aunt June was named after June Tolliver of Trail of the Lonesome Pine. Granddaddy happened to be reading The Trail of the Lonesome Pine. At the time Aunt June was born, he had June Tolliver on his mind. So when they asked him what they was going to name it, named her June. Fern got named after Sister Effie's favorite flower and the doctor's mother. And sometimes we don't have good reason. I always said my kin people over in Carroll and Floyd counties were so far away from railroads and civilization, they named their babies just for the fun of it. And then one had a cousin named California, and one named Canary, and one named Mephibosheth. And I know they were all religious people and looked in the Bible to find what they could do. But I declare, I believe that John or Frank or Sam might have been better than Mephibosheth. But anyway, in Bible times, naming a child was not a pastime. In Bible times, what you named a child was important because it was a spiritual thing. and you gave the child a name. And you say, well, that's nice they felt that way. Hey, God felt that way. God got involved in naming people. And he changed their names sometime. When he appeared to Jacob after a night of him wrestling with the Lord, God changed his name to Israel. When Simon met Jesus Christ, he changed his name to Peter, which meant a rock. And even the names of unborn babies carried special meaning. And in this chapter, there are four new names and one old name that never gets changed. Now, the first new name is the name that Abraham receives for God. I wonder what God looked like, because it doesn't so much say God came down, but when this conversation's over, it said, and the Lord went up from Abraham. So I don't know what Abraham was seeing, but I know what he was hearing, because the Bible records it. And God said, I am, and it's translated, God Almighty in the King James Version. But what he said was, I am El Shaddai. That's exactly what it says. And 48 times that word is translated in the Old Testament as Almighty, God Almighty. And you say, well, what does it mean? And even in the New Testament, I can't tell you how many times, but that word is translated the Almighty, except in Revelation 19 and 6. And of course, you know what that chapter is. That's when the Lord's coming back on his horse with the host of heaven to the battle of Armageddon. And in that place, instead of being translated God Almighty, it's translated Omnipotent, which means all-powerful. And you say, well, why is God naming himself to Abraham? He said, I am El Shaddai. And there's a lot of debate about that, because some scholars think it means to be strong. And some scholars think it means the mountain. And some scholars think it means breast. And if you think about it, a mountain range coming up from the earth is like a breast if the person was laying down. And it's nothing stronger than a mountain range. This is what he's talking about. And what it means is God is the all-powerful and all-sufficient God who can do anything to meet your need. Now you say, why would God, at Abraham's 99 years old, or Abram, why would God suddenly appear to him and say, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I am the all-sufficient, all-powerful God and can do anything you need done. Because the next sentence was, and your wife Sarah is going to have a baby by you. And Abraham, in the face of God, falls over on the ground and commence laughing. I mean, how many of us laugh in the face of God? Well, you go down to the nursing home and tell my mother, and she's a little fuzzy sometimes, but you go down there and tell mother she's going to have a baby, and she's not so fuzzy that she wouldn't laugh about that. She'd think it was funny. Well, Abraham is 99 years old, and his wife, Sarah, S-A-R-I, at that time, is 89 years old. And God says, about this time next year, your wife, Sarah, is going to have a baby by you. And Abraham just falls over on the floor and laughs. Said, shall a man that is 100 years old, his wife who is 90 years old, have a baby by him? And he just thinks that's the funniest thing he ever heard of in his life. And he rolls on the ground and laughs. Why did God tell him that? In fact, is 12 times in this chapter, God says, I will. I will. You know what God's teaching Abraham? He's teaching him that he is the one who can get the job done. You see, if Abraham had fathered a child by Sarah when he was 35 and she was 25, well, it'd have been a blessing, but it wouldn't have been anything unusual, would it? If Abraham had fathered a child by Sarah when he was 55 and she was 45, it would have been a blessing, but it wouldn't have been anything to write home about. Now, if he'd have fathered a child by her when he was 75 and she was 65, it would have raised some eyebrows for sure, and in this day and time would have made the paper. But when he has advanced to the age of 99 years old, and his wife has advanced to the age of 89 years old, do you know what Paul says about them two in the New Testament? Says they're good as they were good as dead. Far as having a baby is concerned, he said they were as good as dead. Now, if they have a baby when Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old, guess who's the master of that plan? God Almighty. That don't happen in human life. I mean, Abraham knew, that's why he laughed. He knew he was not capable of fathering a child. He knew that. And Sarah, well, she absolutely knew it. And yet God says, I am the Almighty. I am the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one. I can do this. And you say, God, can you make Abraham father a child when he knows he can't? And Sarah bear a child when she knows she can't? Now, God has been traveling with these people all these years. When he was 75, God appeared to him in Ur of the Chaldees. And God says to him, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Well, he's 75 and she's 65. That might happen. They got itchy along the way, you know. They tried to handle it their way. God keeps saying that Ishmael's not the one. Eliezer is not the one. Well, where are we going to get this baby? God says, I'll do it. So when he gets to be 100 years old, God said, now you can have your baby. And I'm going to bring a great nation out of him. There's going to be kings and princes and peoples and nations come from him. And Abraham is incredulous. How can it be? Well, when Abraham went to fight all the kings that had came and taken all the Sodom and Gomorrah and all the king places there, God told him, said, I am your shield. When he brought back the riches, and God didn't want him to have it, and he gave it all away, he said, I am your exceedingly great reward. You see, God comes to us in the ways we need him the most. And God came to Abraham. I mean, Abraham has given up. He's just given up on having a baby. God has kept saying this, and now all at once, God is there. Now, this means that Abraham is responsible before God. I mean, what's he going to do with this message? I mean, what do we do with the messages that God gives us? What's he going to do with this message? What's he going to do with this? Well, it says he walked, you know, Enoch and Noah walked with God. But Abraham walked before God, aware that God's eyes were on him all the time. And God gave him a call for integrity, said, you walk upright before me. Don't you be crawling around in the dirt. Don't you be down there in the mess. You walk upright before me, Abraham. And the secret of a perfect walk with God is a personal relationship with God. And Abraham was what? A friend of God, the Bible said. Now, God is saying, as for me. Did you catch that? When I read it, God said, as for me, this is my covenant that I'm going to make with you. And God lays out the proposition for Abraham. He said, now, I am El Shaddai. And up to now, you've been Abram, but now you're going to be Abraham. And you know, Abram means exalted father. But Abraham means father of a multitude. So God has spoke to Abraham, changed his name now to Abraham. And you have to remember, Abraham's the father of the Jewish people. Yes, he is. He's the father of the Arab peoples. Yes, he is. He's the father of a list of nations in Genesis 25 that tells us a whole bunch of peripheral nations that came from Abraham. And all who trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are his spiritual descendants. Now, Abraham and Sarah had tried their plan, and it failed miserably, didn't it? Their plan did not float at all. So God says, I'm going to make a multitude out of you. And he has Abraham at the place that if it happens, it has to be God. You all going to forgive me for saying this, but you do realize that God renewed Abraham's sex drive at 100 years old? It's true. That's exactly what happened, because the New Testament said he was as good as dead. There was no way he could make it. Now, not only is God going to give Abraham a son and make him many people, he's going to give him the land. He's going to give him the whole land of Canaan. He reiterates that promise that he had given before. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, and I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to give you ownership of this land. And how long is he going to give this land to Abraham's descendants? Forever. Why are we supporting the Jews? Because God has given them that piece of land forever. Why has Satan fought so hard for the Jews not to have that land, for the Jews to be deposed from that land? Because it makes God a liar if the Jews do not have that land. Now, God has given that land to them forever. And I have to tell you what God did. He gave it to them. But for them to possess it and to enjoy it, they had to obey God. It didn't just fall into their lap. What did he say? They that are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. And this is the only way they can do it. Now, he also gives them a sign. And this is how you know Abraham's really walking with God. I mean, right out of the clear blue sky, God says, Abraham, you and Ishmael, your son, and every man in your camp is to be circumcised. Wow, that wasn't done. The heathen looked down on that. Abraham got up, and that day, now you talk about obedience. I mean, when you come to your 13-year-old son with a flint stone in your hand and say, I'm going to circumcise you, you're going to have a fight on your hands. What 99-year-old man wants to go through that? What about all these servants and all these people that are with him? There are hundreds of men with him. That day, not tomorrow, not next week. I mean, he didn't say, now folks, this is what God's told us to do, and we've got to sort of psych ourselves up and get ready for it, because it ain't going to be good. He didn't do it. He went out right then, took his son Ishmael. And Arab people still practice this today because they're descendants of Abraham. He circumcised Ishmael. He circumcised himself. He circumcised Eliezer. He circumcised every male in that camp. Hundreds of men were incapacitated for weeks as they healed. I mean, you talk about obeying God. And by the way, that's not a sacrament. There's no salvation in it. What is it? It's a sign of the salvation that's already come. God has already appeared to Abraham. God has already made a covenant with Abraham. Circumcision is not the salvation, although by the time Christ came along and the Apostle Paul came along, they viewed it as a sign of salvation. There were plenty of New Testament Christians who said you cannot be saved no matter what Christ has done, until you are circumcised. That was the fight that was on with the Apostle Paul. Do you realize that to keep peace in the church, the Apostle Paul had to take young Timothy, the young preacher, and perform that operation on him? Can you believe that men were examined when they went to synagogue and to temple, if there was any doubt, to see if that operation had been performed or not? Well, it had become not a sign, but it had become a salvation thing. Never was supposed to be. Okay, so God Almighty has named himself God Almighty. He has named Abram Abraham, and now he names Sarah Sarah because she's going to be the princess. If she's going to be the mother of kings and rulers and nations, why wouldn't she be called princess? Now, maybe that's a hint to us, fellas, that our wives should be treated as princess. And then, motherhood. She's going to be a mommy. She's going to be a mother. And the womb of the mother, read Psalm 139, is the holiest of holies where God is at work. Little baby being born in a mama, little baby being formed in a mama, God's at work in there, folks. God's at work in there making a baby. Read Psalm 139. It is the holy of holies. Let's not invade the womb and make it a tomb. Amen? And she's going to have a baby. This is the first baby in the Bible that was ever named before it was born. And you're going to have a little boy baby, Sarah, and you're going to call him Isaac. You know what that name means? It means he laughed. He means he laughed. And every time something came up about Isaac, they laughed. When God told Abraham he was going to have a baby, he laughed. When Sarah stood behind the tent and heard that she was going to have a baby, she laughed. Of course, she said she didn't, but she did. She stood back there and laughed. Well, why not? I understand why she laughed. And then when the baby was born, she laughed. It was a wonderful thing. So everybody has been renamed. Isaac has his name before he's born. Sarah becomes Sarah. Abram becomes Abraham. And God becomes God Almighty. But Abraham says, but what about Ishmael? How old is Ishmael? 13 years old now. He's 13 years old. Abraham loves this kid. It's his child. I don't care what the circumstances of his birth were. He didn't have anything to do with the circumstances of his birth. He didn't ask to be born. He didn't ask for those circumstances. He was born into them. And Abraham has loved him. He's been raised right there in the tent with him. He loves him. His mother's there. And you know what? Abraham asked God, what about Ishmael? What's going to happen to Ishmael? And God says, I have heard you about your son Ishmael. Your son is going to beget 12 princes. He's going to be the father of multitudes and of nations. And go on over there and see it. Arabia and Yemen and Arab Emirates and Jordan and Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran. And man, Ishmael has a great prodigy, doesn't he? It's a great crowd of people that came for him. But Ishmael is a lesson. He gets no new name. Why? You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus when he talked to him about the new birth? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Ishmael was Abram and Sarah's attempt to engineer God's word and God's will. It was a work of the flesh from day one. And it was destined to bring dissension and heartache into their home. It did when he was born, and it does when he's 14 years old the next year. You'll see. And when you look at this, you have to remember that this was the beginning of a new day for Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was going to have a baby boy. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. he laughed. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you think that's a great story? My brothers and sisters, God thinks it's important to have a good name. God thinks it's important that your name be somebody. Next week, we're going to talk about fire, trial by fire, in chapter 18, the Lord willing. Okay, we're going to sing. This is what Abraham and Sarah should have been singing, and they wouldn't have gotten so much trouble with Ishmael and all the other. Maybe we wouldn't have so much dissension in the Middle East today if they'd been singing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I'm the clay." We have to learn to let God mold us and make us. Amen. Father, take the word tonight, speak to our hearts, bless us with your Spirit, touch us with your grace, go with us as we go home. And Father, let the word of God go with us to let us learn the lesson from God's word that we're supposed to learn. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, everybody's standing and singing. As we sing, if you need prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. I encourage you, I exhort you to remember all these prayer requests and pray about them. Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? God bless you as you go home. Let His Spirit go with you, His power touch you, His grace move you. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will bless your hearts and that your name will be written down in glory and that you'll be one of those that knows El Shaddai, that He's the all-sufficient, almighty God. Father, bless Your people. Touch them, keep them, anoint them, use them to Your glory. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.